Sorry, guys, if I'm a little bit shaky, I'm not that too confident when it comes to public. I'm sorry. I'm going to be reading from the book of Mark, chapter 1, verse 9 to 11. At that time, Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. Just as Jesus was coming up out of the water, he saw heaven being torn upon and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. 11, and a voice came from heaven, "You are my son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased." That is the, I say, word of the Lord. So I'm going to also be reading from the First Nation verse version. So the same are from Mark chapter 1, verse 9 to 11. So it was in those days that Creator set free Jesus, came from his home in Seed, Planter Village, Nazareth, in the territory of Circle of Nations, Galilee, to have gift of goodwill. John performed for him the purification ceremony. Creator set free Jesus was a mature man of about 30 winters. The time had come for him to show himself to all the people and began his great work. He wandered out into the river to have gift of goodwill. John performed the ceremony. Then, as soon as Creator set free Jesus, came upon from the water, he saw the sky open. The Spirit of Creator came down like a dove and rested on him. Then a voice from the sky spoke like distant thunder. "This is my much loved son, whom makes my heart glad." This is the word of the Lord.
When I lived in Myanmar in Southeast Asia, there was a wonderful holiday in the middle of March, the hottest time of the year, where there was 40 degree weather, 100% or more humidity, where the whole city of Yangon for 10 days stopped their normal routines and they throw water on each other. It's called the Water Festival, and if anyone is walking out on the street, you get completely soaked by like spraying hoses and large buckets of water that get dumped on you from the apartment buildings up above. Like over and over, you get just soaked and drenched. And it's this way of playing in the new year. And also, it's the belief is the cleansing of past sins and evil spirits and bad luck. So adults and kids and grandpas and grandmas, everyone participates. These sorts of water festivals are not uncommon around the world. Water symbolizing the source of our life and cleansing us, not only physically, but spiritually. This is Beloved Sunday. This is the Sunday in the liturgical calendar where we remember the baptism of Jesus. And we hear those words that God spoke to him. "You are my son, the beloved. With you I am well pleased." And in ancient Hebrew culture, people would participate in baptisms as a form of ritual cleansing and purification. John the Baptist was not the first person who performed baptisms in ancient Israel. This is Beloved Sunday, the day when Jesus was baptized. And these words spoken to Jesus are spoken directly to us today. Our God says, "You are my child. You are the beloved. With you, I am well pleased." Our sermon series for the next 2 months will be on the theme of listening and prayer, listening to God and prayer. We begin the series with this story because these words spoken, "You are beloved," is the foundation for all of our listening to God, and it's the foundation for all of prayer. In March, we will be offering three formal conversations, I don't know why I said that word formal. We're having a meeting after the church, having conversations about looking forward together after the services, and all of you are invited to participate, to dream, and to discern together what our next steps are for living out our vision as a worshiping community. We will be listening for what things have already been started, for what we have capacity for now, and for what we dream for in the future. And as we prepare for these conversations, we want to be grounding ourselves in the practice of listening and in the practice of prayer. There's so many different competing voices in our world. Who should we be listening to? What is true? What is fake? What does God's voice sound like? This series on listening and prayer suggests that God does speak, that God is a conversationalist. Have you ever imagined God grabbing a cup of tea or latte to have a good long chat with you? There are so many scriptures in the story that point to imagining this kind of God. So many attempts of God trying to communicate with people in their particular context, starting in the beginning with the garden, God taking long walks in the forest with Adam and Eve, longing for a friendship with humans. We refer to Jesus himself as the Word made flesh, sent to reveal the essence of God, the essence of what it means to be a human. And he walked and talked and told stories and ate dinner with people. We've experienced the gifts and fruit of the Holy Spirit as communication from the divine life to human life. How have you heard God speak in your life? Have you heard God speak in your life? Maybe through a sermon, a piece of music, a magnificent painting or sunset, in the quiet, on the bus, through the kindness of a stranger, or perhaps even through the mouth of your child. How have you heard that God speak in your life? God speaks, and yet God does not often speak to us as humans relate and speak. Brad Jerzek, who is a theologian from Abbotsford, right now he's living in New Brunswick, he's the president of St. Stephen's University, he wrote a book and describes God in this book as using the metaphor of a radio. So it's like learning to tune into a different radio frequency. The frequency is always there, but we just need to learn to tune in. Sometimes it is that simple, and sometimes it's incredibly mysterious and frustrating. You know, God's speech cannot be managed and controlled, like we turn on the tap and water immediately comes out. We relate to God in faith. We learn to listen to this other reality, even though most of the time we don't see it or hear it or sense it. Yet in our lifetime, in our journey with God, we can learn to walk by faith and not just by our regular senses. So I encourage us to ponder this other realm beyond and within our physical realm, where God sometimes opens up the curtain to allow us to see and to allow us to hear his voice. This exact curtain was opened up in Jesus' baptism story. This story tells us that the heavens or the skies were opened. We're meant to understand that word heaven to be God's dimension, God's presence, behind or in the midst of ordinary reality. Jesus had his feet on the earth at this time. He felt the river sand bed. He physically experienced the water and the wind around him. And at this moment, there was a coming together of the divine with the earthly elements. This realm of God was opened. And like a dove, so gently, so swiftly, so softly, so suddenly, this other realm was glimpsed. And he heard God's voice. And what does God want to say? What does God want to say? Words of love. Beloved, my child, I'm well pleased with you. These are the first words that are recorded of God speaking to Jesus. And in fact, these are the only words of a recording of a direct experience. These words are spoken in two stories in Jesus' life, the beginning of his ministry here, and then before he begins the journey towards death on the Mount of Transfiguration. Those same words are spoken again there. You're my beloved. If you want to know, if you wonder what God's voice sounds like, listen to this story. This is our foundation in tuning into the voice frequency of God. It is the voice of love. It offers love. It leads to love. N.T. Wright says to us, learn to hear these words in this baptism story addressed to you. Let them change you, mold you, make you somebody new. With this first phrase, we hear the words, you are my son, familial language. God says, you're my son, you're my child. Like some of you, I don't have children myself, but I imagine those of you who do have children, though they may cause you a lot of grief, everyone knows that a parent's love is just fundamentally offered freely. Parents automatically love their children, and the child has done nothing to deserve their love. It's one of the most beautiful things that God created to put us in families, in relationships of love. When parents are functioning rightly, and not all parents function rightly with genuine love, but when they are, the world is blessed by a well-loved child. Perhaps the familial language of father-son is used so we understand this relationship that God has with Jesus is closest to family love. It's fierce. It's unrelenting. It's one of the most powerful loves we can experience on earth. Now, because of our brokenness in the world, we have not all experienced this kind of love, but we know innately this kind of love that we're made for. You are my son, my child. And the next words we hear are, you are my beloved. Here, God speaks the language of a lover. Another strong metaphor of how we experience love on earth. Henri Nguyen writes a powerful little book called The Life of the Beloved. And it's a book originally written for those living outside of the Christian life, trying to understand the basic spirituality of what it means to be a Christ follower. Our basic foundation, our journey of the Christian life, is understanding and experiencing that we are beloved. So this whole story that we look at today in those few verses offers up an image of a very relational God. The three persons of the Trinity are referred to here, the Father's words, the Son being baptized, and the Holy Spirit in the form of a dove. This Trinity we know is a community, it's relationship among these three persons, and often it's referred to as a dance of love together. And of course, the wonderful surprise is that we are invited into this dance. Yet what is the default voice we most listen to in this world? Perhaps the voices deep within us that create anxiety and pressure and attack on ourselves and others, those voices of shame and worthlessness and self-rejection, of not being beloved, are so strong. Perhaps your default voice is the one that says you're actually unlovable, that you must prove, you must earn love in this life. Most voices in our world shout out negativity, and consciously or unconsciously, we've picked it up and it lingers in our psyches. Nguyen writes that we search our whole lives for a person or an event or something that will give us this profound love. We reject the reality that we are actually beloved. Jesus' baptism is a beginning story. It's a commissioning story. Jesus hasn't done any miracle, any good deed, any proclamation, any sacrificial suffering. And God says, "You make my heart glad." God says, before we have done anything, you make my heart glad. You are my child. You are beloved. With you, I am well pleased. This is a good beginning. This is a good foundation. We don't start with an angry God, a God that needs to be appeased, a God that's judging. We start foundationally with a God of love. And these words spoken to Jesus feeds him throughout his ministry. It sustains him in the desert, among the crowds, in the temple, among those who praise him, anger him, challenge him, idealize him. And right before Jesus goes into the toughest time of his life, where he is tortured and murdered, Jesus hears those words spoken to him again. The curtain is opened again on the Mount of Transfiguration, and we glimpse these words of love. And God says, "Listen to him." So have you heard these words of God spoken to you? Have you listened for them? What difference does it make to know we are beloved? Often we can be told things or we can read things and it still doesn't ring true. The spiritual life is about experiencing real love and living out real love. This is something we are invited to practice. Now, there has been a tradition of a prayer week in January at Grandview, and I propose that we expand it to many weeks over these next series, these next 2 months, where each week we take a listening or prayer practice. And the first practice for us is to reflect on this story and to receive these words. Henri Nguyen had a profound experience of meditating on this story for 30 minutes a day. In fact, just on those words, "I am beloved," trusting in it, asking the grace to experience it, and to become the beloved. I invite us into this prayer practice. First step, choose a length of time. It doesn't have to be 30 minutes, maybe 3 minutes, maybe 5 minutes a day. Second step, choose when you will do this. Often it's good to choose something that you habitually do, like after you brush your teeth or after you drop your kids off at school or first thing in the morning. And third step, receive the grace. Ask to receive the grace of this story. You're invited to, in those 3 minutes or 20 minutes, think about a moment when you felt love. It could be any moment. could ask for God to bring that to your mind. Any moment among the people or experiences you've had, maybe it's a moment when you're by yourself in the forest. Maybe it's a moment with your pet. Think of a moment when you experienced real love. And the prayer practice is just to savor that for your 3 minutes. That's it. And then the next day, you can ask for a new memory, or you can just go back to that one you have. It could be very simple. And savor it. Meditate on what you experience. You could journal about it if you want some extra credit. Just open your hands to receive those words, to receive that experience of being loved. In a moment, I will hand out that prayer practice so you can like tangibly look at something and you can do that on your own this week. But to conclude and to remind ourselves about this earthly part of baptism, what greater sign of love can I give you today than to immerse you in water? Well, maybe I won't immerse you, but I will, I'm going to take one bucket of water here and dip this cedar branch in and spray you with water so you remember your baptism and so you remember this story and so that you can have time to receive these words. My child, you are beloved. With you, I am well pleased. So I'm going to be more like an Anglican pastor today rather than a Baptist pastor.